This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. The best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
It's Sam Lubin. It's Dan Devone on a Saturday getting you ready for the White Sox and the Giants. We'll continue their series out in Chicago. The Giants in the midst of a 10-game roadie and in the midst of playing 16 consecutive games without a day off. You know, Sam, here in the studio, I'm watching the A's and the Yankees play a baseball game from, of course, Yankee Stadium, the historic Yankee Stadium. To think that you have one team that plays at home at Yankee Stadium, and then their opponent plays home games at a place called Sutter Hill. Like, what the hell's going on here? What's wrong with this picture? Why is Sutter Hill actually a ballpark in Major League Baseball these days?
Well, you see, Luis Severino, he was interviewed by The Athletic, or he said The Athletic, he probably said some other people as well. He just went in on how much he hates pitching at Sutter Health. I think he's 0-7 with like an 8-something-something ERA at Sutter Health, and he's 2-0 with like a 2-something-something ERA away. And he just said, like, the most obvious part out loud, it's because on the road we're playing in a big league ballpark, whereas in Sacramento we're not. Because, you know, you got the clubhouse out in left field, which means the pitchers can't go to the clubhouse during games in between innings, which they like to do. There's no air conditioning out there. You're just baking in the hot sun. It's, you know, it's just not ideal conditions for a pitcher to pitch in. And, you know, I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for all those players, not just on the A's, but on the Sacramento Rivercats as well, who have to deal with this nonsense brought about by John Fisher and his just inability to run a baseball team. You know, it happens. But on the flip side, you know, you still gotta come through, much like you and I are this morning here with just the two of us here in this undermanned station. And again, shout out to everyone who's listening on YouTube. I know the audio is having issues this morning. I wish I had a solution for it. The minimal amount of tech knowledge that I have, I put it to good use, and it was not of good use, actually. So shout out to all those who are bearing through it and listening to it with us with the echo issues that we're having. Unfortunately, it's just the situation we have this morning, and we're going to power through it because that is what professionals do, Dan. And that is what we're doing this morning here on the Orange Black Weekend Wrap.
I can keep going around the studio like Goldilocks and try and find the right.
Well, then I got to go and do the cameras too, because we got this whole new camera system that we set up as well that just adds to it. And honestly, there's a part of me that's just like, do we need to do YouTube today? But you know what? We give the people what they want. What the people want is a little bit of YouTube.
So really quick, before we move off on the A's, you know who David Sampson is? He has his own YouTube channel.
And
he
I'm very well aware of who David Sampson is.
He is a quasi-regular
on the Morning Roast.
Oh, he is?
Yes. Basically, every episode that Sampson does gets repeated by Shasky the next day on the Morning Roast. So that's basically where that. So yes, I do know who David Sampson is.
And you know how he refers to the Oakland A's as the Oakland ass. So I just thought I'd leave it at that.
Oh, right. Of course.
Let's get into the San Francisco Giants, as we have reached officially the midway point. Sam, just take us soup to nuts, alphabetically, if you want, just go through this lineup and let's sort of grade these guys.
Yeah.
A being the best, or do you want to do a 1 to 10 schedule?
I like a grading thing, and I like a little music when we do this too, Dan. Get a little Pennant Fever going here from the movie Major League, my favorite baseball movie of all time. Let's have some fun with this. Let's just go up and down the roster and just give our quick grades. And I want the people on the YouTube chat to chime in as well. I'm going to say a name, throw out a grade. And if your grade is worth reading, I'll throw it in there. Unfortunately, you know what? I'll even play the music for YouTube today. We usually don't play the music for YouTube because we don't want to demonetize the stream. But you know what? If we really lose money, I'll pay the $4.83 that we lost by demonetizing it today. So, YouTube chat, I'm getting you guys involved in here. I want to hear your grades. I'm going to go up and down the roster. I'm going to say a name. You give me a grade. Very simple. Starting off with... I want to start off with a good one here. Start with our usual leadoff hitter, but he was the cleanup guy last night, Mike Yastrzemski. What's the grade you're giving Mike Yastrzemski, Dan?
I'll give him a solid C.
Solid C, okay. I think I would go in the B- area because he's been streaky this year, which you kind of expect out of Yaz. He is a streaky hitter, but at the end of the day, he's still giving you the exact production that I think you expect from him. You would like a little bit more, but you know it could be a little bit worse, so I'm going to go B- there for Mike Yastrzemski. And then let's see, go to the chat. Instant, 1495, going C+. Kep HD is also going to go with a B- there for Yaz. So let's keep this going with, all right, why not? Patrick Bailey, the hero of last night's game, who had this big hit.
Bailey to right field, sinking, and a dive and a miss by Noda. It's going to go to the wall. Adames rounds third. He'll score right behind him. Christian Koss. He'll score and over to third. Patrick Bailey. The Giants take a 3-1 lead.
That sounds so much cooler with the music bed underneath it. But yeah, Patrick Bailey. That hit last night. That one hit. That one at bat was A+. But we're not doing that one at bat, Dan. They're doing the whole season. Patrick Bailey, what grade is he getting?
I'm going to go C+.
Wow, that high. I'm giving him a D. It's just, I need more at the plate. It's hard for me to give Bailey a good grade when he's still on the interstate like he has. Again, you have to go back to April 11th in New York against the Yankees, where the A's are right now. This is the last time that Patrick Bailey
got into bed
with a batting average above 200. Mishler in the chat, yeah, C+, Hunkin SF, D+, a lot of D's and C's for Patrick.
Is this like Dave Portnoy's pizza review? Can I take back? I can't take back my
you take story? Back the grade. Listen, okay. No, whatever we do to make it not like Dave Portnoy, we could do it like that. I want to be the exact opposite of that guy.
I'll stay locked in with my, what did I give him, a C+?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
I put an emphasis on defense. I think I told you this before, that I'm old school, that I'm willing to sacrifice the catcher position for defense. Although the offense, granted, needs to be a little bit better than this.
Actually, I think Jason Mishler in the chat, I think he had the best one right here. B for catching, D for hitting. And I'll still take Patrick Bailey's
hitting. Well, that grades out to a C.
Yeah, there you go. Right. And I'd take Patrick Bailey's hitting over anything Dave Portnoy. I don't know if I want to go down this one. Well, why not? Willie Adames. Oh, boy. What do we got?
Well, I'm going to surprise you by giving you, I'm going to say he's sort of a B- C+.
Really? Well, yeah. Why so high there?
Well, the reason why it's so high is because everything else that he's done. I really do believe, and I know it's one of those intangibles, and what the hell does that mean at the end of the day? His personality and his presence really means something on this team. And I do think it's translated to wins. I'm a big locker room guy. If you get it right there, there's a cause and effect with wins and losses. And he has really been, whether it's welcoming in Rafi Devers or just in the midst of all the struggles, being a positive guy, a positive influence in that growing sort of Latin community on this baseball team, which I love to see. He keeps that whole thing together, man. And there's worth in that. Now, I know you're saying, well, just hit the damn baseball at the end of the day. We're giving you 26 per, right, for the next 7 years. Fair enough.
Yeah,
I do think he will hit at some point, and I am taking into account the last 15 games. So, you know, he's hitting a little bit, but I'm just a Devers guy, and the defense has also got much better.
Yeah, so Let's say here. I'm looking at the YouTube chat. Yeah, a lot of C's and D's for Adames. I think it's very easy to look at what Adames is doing and give him a D or something lower than that. I'm going to go a little bit more friendly here. I'm going to give him a C, C minus, somewhere in that area, because I do believe the intangibles are meaning a lot. Had Larry Bear on the morning roast last month. And, well, you know what? Here's what Larry Bear had to say about what they've learned about Adames and why they value him so much.
He's a culture carrier. That's what we call it, culture carrier. What does that mean? It means that his enthusiasm, his team-oriented approach creates a culture, helps create a culture, helps change a culture if that is what was needed, etc. And it's super valuable beyond what the statistics say. That has absolutely been the case. He's a winning player. You know, that's just sort of the way we felt about him before we signed him. And that's what, so far, you know, first 50 games, that's the way it's turned out.
So, again, he mentioned that big word, the culture care, changing the culture when that's needed. The Giants needed a cultural shift in this organization by flushing Farhan out, bringing Buster in, and Willie was part of setting that new culture. And it is a different tone in that clubhouse. And Willie Adames is a big part of that. And how you quantify that for wins, losses, I don't really know that. There is no stat for that. I will say, though, he is hitting .228 so far in the month of June. So that technically means he's hitting a little bit better, I guess. So moving on here, I'm going to do a twofer here because I feel like it's very easy. Matt Chapman and Elliot Ramos. Is there any reason to give them less than an A?
No, solid A's.
Both A's. Elliot Ramos, I expect him to be an all-star next month. It's going to be tough, though. That outfield, there is a lot of good options to be in the outfield for the all-star team this year. The fact that Teoscar Hernandez right now is in the top three of voting kind of worries me, because I think that Ramos has had a better season than Teoscar Hernandez, all things being equal. But Hernandez is a star. He's one of the big players in the league, and he's going to get voted in as a starter. And that could be like one of those, college basketball, you know, you have the bubble watch, you know, when a team that shouldn't be in the tournament gets an automatic bid, that pops a team's bubble somewhere else. I feel like it's similar there. If Hernandez gets that starting spot, Ramos's bubble case gets a little bit. I'm not saying that Ramos should be on the bubble. It's the depth of outfield talent in the National League this year is just so insane that there's going to be some guys left out who shouldn't be left out. And I am very worried that Ramos could be one of those guys. Hopefully I am wrong.
And the Dodgers have another one in Páez.
Andy Páez is also going to sneak in there. The Cubs have two guys in PCA and Kyle Tucker. Fernando Tatis Jr., he'll be in the mix. Juan Soto's going to be in the mix. James Wood, the outfielder in Washington. Kyle Stowers, I think, who was the left-handed hitting outfielder for the Marlins, who hit that mammoth home run against Bergson. Is he a Stanford guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I knew I didn't like him.
The one thing I would say about Elliot Ramos, it's an A. It's an A, but I'm leaning towards A-minus because the defense could be better.
The defense could be better, but sometimes it is better, and then it isn't. It's very up and down with him. He's got a low-key good arm, though, Elliot Ramos.
To second base and thrown out. Who was that guy? He threw somebody out at second base.
Somebody, during the Marlins. I forget the name who he got, but yeah, he's got a bit of an arm. So moving on, Casey Schmidt. What kind of a grade are we going to give Casey Schmidt, who, again, I believe he started off in the minors this year. He's bumping around the infield. Finally seems to be finding his place in the absence of Matt Chapman.
I'm going to go solid B.
I'm going to go B as well. He's filling in, I think, admirably. I always say, you know, like, Casey Schmidt's not all that different from a backup quarterback. He's the Mac Jones to Matt Chapman's Brock Purdy. And that if Brock goes down, can Matt get a split? And I think Casey Schmidt, he's doing a good enough job of the equivalent of getting a split for Matt Chapman's absence here. Let's move to the bench. Before we go to the bench, Jung-Hoo Lee. Where are we at on Jung-Hoo Lee on grading?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I'll go A- in the beginning of the season, and he has been a D since, so I'm going low C minus.
I think C probably for Lee, because the defense is still really good. The defense is much better than it was last year. He knows where the walls are, which is a big improvement there. But yeah, the start of the season had, like, Dan, a month ago, I thought that Jung-Hoo Lee was going to be one of the Giants All-Stars. Like, he looked like a lock to make the All-Star game in mid-May, and he is going to be as far away from the All-Star game as you could possibly be. Now at this point.
I think he dipped below 250 the other night.
Yeah, I think he's at 248 now. And it's just, like I said, he's in 162 for the month of June. A 170 BABIP this month, so a little bit of bad luck. But again, I think part of that is just his approach at the plate has gone in the absolute dumpster. And that's going to have to change. He's a guy who, again, if he came up through the minor leagues and didn't have the contract that he had right now, I kind of think that he would be in AAA right now, working on his swing. That's kind of, which is crazy to say, considering where he was. I feel like this could be another easy grade. Wilmer Flores.
He's a solid A.
Solid, absolutely. He is low-key the team MVP this year. If he's not the MVP, he's the MDP, as in the most dependable player, which when Matt Williams got Jung-Hoo Lee thrown out the plate the other night on what would have been the winning run, I believe Flores was right there on deck. I got that wrong. That was Tuesday night. Flores was on deck when Devers was thrown out at home plate. I didn't understand what Matt Williams was doing there. When you got your most dependable hitter coming up the plate next, you don't need to send the guy there, and you ran yourself out of an inning.
He's just being overly aggressive because his team can't score runs.
Yeah. Wilmer Flores, though, who's on a pretty bit of a cold streak. He's hitting. He was hitting around 210 this month, going into last night's game, and of course, then he gets the big double in the third inning to kind of get the Giants on the board. And then he made some pretty good defensive plays, too, at first base, which defense is supposed to be the hole in his game. But hopefully he gets better at first base. You saw a little bit last night because he's probably going to have to play a lot more first base the rest of the year because I'm not really in on Rafael Devers playing first base. And speaking of Rafael Devers, it's been a little over a week. How are we grading his Giants tenure so far?
Give him a solid B, leaning toward, a B.
Yeah, I'd say a B as well. B plus. Because really just his presence alone makes me happier about this team and this team's future. And again, it's a big transition he's gone through. It's a much different ballpark than he's used to. He already got one home run at this ballpark that would have been off the monster already. So I think that the more Devers gets comfortable with this lineup, it's going to happen. He is going to go on a tear in the second half. And again, if Giants fans, if they want to start stuffing the ballots, he is on the DH list now for the National League. Well, of course, I know it's going to be pretty impossible to take over Shohei Ohtani. I'm pretty sure Rob Manfred would fudge the voting totals there. But let's see if we can get Rafael Devers to represent the Giants in the All-Star game. How cool would that be?
Do you have an issue with young players being DHs? I mean, if they're marginally defensive players...
Well, that's kind of why. That's kind of what the DH is for now, is to give these marginally defensive players a chance.
But a lot of people feel as though if you it's an older player's position. It's someplace you stick Chili Davis in his waning years. I have no issue if a guy can hit that he becomes an everyday DH, and he's a young baseball player.
No, I have no issue with it either. Again, if that's what's best for the lineup, that's what's best for the lineup. And what's great for the Giants is they have a set DH now for the next 8 years, which gives more structure to their lineup. So, yeah, I have no issue with it.
I think you and I are both on the same page that theoretically the Giants are a better baseball team when Flores is more of a spot starter, role player, bench guy. If he's your number, well, maybe you're not on the same page with me, but I think if he's your number three or four guy and you're this reliant on him to give you power statistics, it's not where you want to be offensively.
No, I agree with that. But at the same time, Wilmer Flores has been coming. He just continues to keep coming through. True. He's doing it. He's defying all the odds as he's doing it. I feel like we're constantly waiting for the other foot to drop and him just to, you know, fall back to earth and, you know, be the hitter he was last year. I don't think that's going to happen. He's going to do it in a way that kind of defies how offense is done this year. He's doing it with soft contact. He's doing it with really long approaches. He's not that aggressive at the plate. He's letting the game come to him, and that's why he's been such a consistent force for the Giants this year. And it's crazy to think, but where would the Giants be without Wilmer Flores this year?
That says a lot about
this
team.
But again, he worked at the DH. We'll see how he handles the strain of being an everyday first baseman as the season goes along. Let's go to the pitching rotation now, and Logan Webb, Robbie Ray. I'm gonna pair those two together because, again, I feel like that's an easy... I'm giving them both A's. A's for aces, because that's what they are.
Well, the A, obviously, for Logan Webb. A+, if you will. I can't go A for Robbie Ray. Tremendous start, but you do have to take into account the last month and a half, do you not? So he's sort of like B+ range for me. Sort of in the B category.
Yeah, go 7 shutout today, and... it's an easy A there. By the way, going to the chat. Yeah, YouTube chat agrees. Wilmer Flores, lots of A's. Jung Hoo Lee gets a C from Lincoln Schumann. Instant 1495 is also giving Jung Hoo Lee a C. He's also giving Webb and Ray A's as well. Chips and Salsa, sorry, you were a little late. We can't fix the echo. We're short staffed. We don't have any engineers. We're just going to have to... much like the A's at Sutter Health Park in unfriendly conditions, we're just going to have to soldier through it today. Unfortunately, I got nothing better for you there. I do apologize to all of our friends on YouTube, brought to you by First Court NorCal Credit Union. How about last night's starter, Landon Roop? What kind of a grade are you giving him, Dan?
I'll go A- with Landon Roop.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to give him an A-. I think he's giving you everything you could have possibly wanted and more for a young starter. And no need to apologize there, Chips and Salsa. You relate to the show. It's all good. Hayden Birdsong. This is an interesting one. I think a couple weeks ago, the grade would have been one thing. Now, grade might be something different.
Yeah, I think he's hanging on to a B-, and he's shaking hands with a C pretty quickly.
I'd say B right now. I think he's just going through growing pains. This is what happens with a young starter. He is really struggling with the lefties, though. I did not like that they made him get into the beanball war on Thursday, where he punked Otto Lopez, the Marlins three-hitter. And then two batters later, you know, Kyle Stowers comes to the plate and hits an absolute tank out into the 4-1-5 section. And again, he struggles against the lefties. Stowers stepped into the plate, and I was like, uh-oh, I got a bad feeling about this one. And what do you know? A bad feeling was had indeed. Justin Verlander. What are we on? He's going to be Sunday starter. What's his grade?
D,
yeah, I'd probably say C-, because he's pitched better than the numbers indicate. The problem with Justin Verlander, it's always just one inning that sinks him every start. And sometimes Giants are able to overcome that. Most times they're not. It is just crazy that he is still yet to get a win this season. Let's go into the bullpen here, and Camilo Duvall.
I'll give Duvall an A-.
Really? I think I'm going to go with a B here, because it's just too many times he's starting innings off with walks. Like, I've kind of come to peace with the holding runners on issue, which I don't like that I came to peace with it, but he needs to get ahead in counts. He needs to get the first out. He can't be pitching with as much traffic as he's been giving up. So that's where I'm at on that one. Let's do another group here, and this is an easy one. Eric Miller, Randy Rodriguez, Tyler Rogers. Do any of those three get anything less than an A?
No, not at all.
Yeah, those are three A's right there who play for the Giants. Hunk and SF giving Duvall a B+, instant 1495, going an A- for Duvall. He's giving an F to Verlander. So he is very much out on Justin Verlander here. Ryan Walker.
Ryan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Walker, I'll give a solid B. B-.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, I'd probably go into C+ with Ryan Walker. And I say that as a big fan of Ryan Walker. I've gotten many an argument with the Butcher Boy in the mornings before shows about Ryan Walker. I still believe in him. Listen, relievers are fickle. They really are. There was a time when Sergio Romo, it took him a couple years to really kind of find his groove as a reliever. Jeremy Affeldt, I remember in 2010, was very unreliable for the Giants during the regular season before figuring out in the postseason. Santiago Garcia had his fair share of ups and downs, and those are three of the greatest relievers in San Francisco Giants history. So relievers can be fickle. Remember in 2022, half the city wanted to run Tyler Rogers out of town because they thought that he was cooked. And no one's saying that now. So I'm not giving up on Ryan Walker, but I need him to pick things up here going forward because my trust in him is a little bit shaken, especially on the road. He is not very good on the road and need that to get better because as Instant is saying, Ryan Walker was lights out last season. So those are our grades. I want to get into a little bit of grading of Bob Melvin on the other side, Dan, and then how Larry Bear made this station go viral. We'll get on that on the other side as well.
All right, we'll continue here on 95.7 The Game. A little Bob Melvin as well as, well, let's just let it out of the bag. Barry Bonds is going to creep into the conversation. I know you don't want to miss that. We'll continue here on the, what do we get for the, it's the oranges, what did we go with? Not paprika.
Well, the orange, well, there was the cheese.
Habanero.
Oh, there's the habanero, that's what it was. The cheese
the
habanero.
The habanero and black sports wrap here on 95.7 The Game. We'll be back to wrap up the show after this.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
And we have hit the home stretch, taking you right up until noon as we recap the first half of the season as the Giants get ready for the Chicago White Sox in Game 2 of their series this afternoon. The Giants in the midst of a 10-game road trip. They are now 8 games over the 500 mark. You know, let's just start right there, Sam. If I was to tell you everything you knew about this team over the offseason, going back to last year, and if you didn't see them play a game, and I was to tell you at the midway point, they would be 8 games over 500, very much in the playoff hunt, and you have Rafi Devers for the second half of the season, what would your take be?
Oh, you're taking that in a heartbeat. You're absolutely taking that in a heartbeat. If you go back to opening day and said halfway through the year, you're 8 games over 500 in the thick of the wild card race, Logan Webb's dealing, and you got your dude for the future locked up without having to give up Bryce Eldridge. Like, yeah, that's A+. Like, the Giants have absolutely exceeded expectations. Whatever expectations Giants fans had at the beginning of the year, there's no way those expectations have not already been met. And that's partly because, you know, the team was in such a not great place, but, and I think that kind of ramps up the expectations for the second half of the year, and that kind of gets us into the conversation that I think we can have about grading Bob Melvin in the season, in the year that he's had, because I think Bob's done a pretty good job this year. I think there's times where things could have been a little bit better, but overall, yeah, I give Bob probably an A- for the season he's had this year as manager of the Giants. It's, you know, not always been perfect with injuries and guys not performing as much they have, but, you know, he's kept the train on the tracks and he has instilled a great culture. And, you know, he talks about this a lot. You know, these guys, they believe in themselves late in games and he has fostered that belief. So, you know, it's been a very good year for Bob Melvin so far.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm right around A-, B+. He's the veteran leader. He's the steady hand. A little dry for me. I've always said this, and it shouldn't have anything to do in terms of him being effective as a manager. Just, bro, get a personality at some point. But we love Bob Melvin, a former Sanford, former Cal catcher, local product. But Bob Melvin has been, for everything that's gone wrong with this team, you just can't put on Bob Melvin. Right? I mean, yeah. When it comes to hitting, he's tried to piece this thing together. We do want to. Are we done with Bob Melvin? Can we
we can keep going with Bob here, just because I do think that, again, yeah, Bob's had some moments here or there, or a pitching change it in, like a bullpen decision that went south. You're going to have that for every manager, so I'm not going to shake a stick too much at that. I have no real qualms about Bob Melvin's job in the first 82 games of the season, but in the next 80 games that the Giants are going to play, though, I do believe that the pressure is going to ramp up on this team. The expectations are going to ramp up on this team. You know, on opening day, again, you say halfway through the year, you're above 500. You're like, awesome, I'm taking that. But the next thing you're saying is, well, now you want to make the playoffs. And that's where I think the expectations go to the next level. I think at the start of this season, if you said the Giants weren't going to make the playoffs, no one would be happy about that. No one would be like, oh, I'll take that. But I don't think anyone would be shocked either. Now the Giants are at a point where it's just like, they should be in the playoffs. Like, they absolutely should be in the playoffs with the roster that they have, with the pitching that they have, with the coaching that they have. This team has everything that a baseball team should have to have a playoff resume. And I fully expect them to be one of these six teams, you know, in the National League playoffs when the season ends, probably as a wild card spot, which is totally fine, you know, because I'm just make the playoffs. Just make the playoffs. I don't care really what they do in the playoffs at that point. Everything they do after that is just extra credit. Obviously, I'd like them to go on a deep run. But if they, like, if they make the wild card round and get knocked out in that wild card round, my takeaway would be, you know what? They set themselves up well for next season. And so I got to give credit to Bob Melvin there. But yeah, no, I do think, I look at Bob now, like, I need you to get this team to the playoffs now, dude.
Yeah, expectations change. And where you were at the beginning of the season, before you threw the first pitch, you would just be satisfied for a team that was competitive. Well, now that we're here, to me, it's playoffs or bust. Like, this team has to get to the postseason. And if they don't, it's a disappointment. It's a disappointing year. I don't look at things collectively and saying, well, if you think about it, in the beginning of the year, you would have taken a team that was competitive down the stretch because nobody was expecting that. And they've been one of the pleasant surprises in Major League Baseball. It doesn't work that way. If you are where you're at right now, you got to get to the postseason. And I'm a little different than you in that when it comes to Major League Baseball, I would not settle for a wild card and saying, okay, we have things to look forward to next year. I'm more of a here and now guy, and especially when it comes to baseball. If you can get your card punched to the dance, when you shrink rotations, you sort of nullify what used to be the Dodgers' dominance, but because they have so many injuries, you even the playing field, and things can happen. Look at, we talked about Arizona and the disappointment they've had this year, but if you get into the postseason, it's been proven time and time again that it's those teams that catch fire for 3 weeks during that tournament, and you can win the damn thing. So it's not like the NFL where things usually, you don't see that much parity. Same with the NBA. Occasionally you'll have a surprise, but typically things go according to plan, not Major League Baseball. So Giants, if you get there, you got a shot. You got to punch a shot.
Absolutely. Now you said playoffs or bust. I'm curious because at this station a couple years ago, everyone was saying, you know, Super Bowl or bust. And I kind of push back on that because I push back because of what my definition of bust means. And I'm kind of curious for you, Dan. You know, playoffs, we don't know what that means. It means making the playoffs. What does bust look like for you? So just disappointment.
Yeah.
See, when I think bust, I think heads roll. Like, people lose jobs. Like, when everyone's saying the Niners Super Bowl or bust, that means if they don't win the Super Bowl, this thing's going to break apart and fall apart, which is ended up what happening. So when I say Giants playoffs or bust,
I guess there's varying degrees of bust.
I guess I have maybe a more of a harsher definition of it. But yeah, because if I'm thinking of bust, like, things have to change. You know, if it's playoffs or bust, and the busting is, well, we're
Posey's
just upset.
Not losing his job if they don't go to the playoffs. And I don't think Bob Melvin's going anywhere if they don't make the playoffs.
Well, so here's a thing I want to throw at you, Dan, when it comes to Bob Melvin's job security. And this isn't off, I'm going to say at the top, not trying to say Bob Melvin needs to go. But the Giants don't make the playoffs this year with this roster, because I think this roster is good enough to make the playoffs. When you have a team that is good enough to make the playoffs, then I think it becomes more incumbent on the manager, head coach, what have you, to guide that team of talent to the playoffs. Like, that's part of what managers are for. But if the Giants don't make the playoffs, and there's another team in the AL West, the Texas Rangers, if they don't make the playoffs, the Texas Rangers, and they have had one good season in the last 7 or 8, and people can already probably tell where I'm going with this. That 1 year was the Bruce Bochy World Series year. It's been pretty rough going since then. The Rangers are a team that's aging in the wrong direction. They're trending in the wrong direction. A part of me has to think, if things go south in Arlington, if Bruce Bochy wants out of the Rangers and the Giants don't make the playoffs this year, is it so hard to envision a reality where Buster Posey decides to make a managerial change to try and bring his old manager back to the Giants? Is that too crazy? Am I trying to get too hopeful there? Or I don't know. What do you think when I throw that at you?
I think it's a bit hopeful, and I think it's not necessarily crazy because he's a good manager and it all sort of fits. I don't think he can go back. I'm just one of those people that you can't revisit or try and live in yesteryear. If you're going
to
make,
isn't that kind of what Buster is? By bringing Buster back to run the team?
But he's never been a GM before.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think if you want, if there's going to be a change, and I'm sort of with you, I've never been all in on Bob Melvin as a manager, just simply because, you know, I'm a big personality guy. And at some point, like, it all depends. You know how you define managers and coaches these days? It's the culture that you cultivate behind closed doors. Do the players respect you? Do they want to go out and play for you? The only issue I have with Bob Melvin, and this holds true to a certain degree when you're talking about Bruce Bochy, the older you get, and we hate to age discriminate, there becomes a bigger cavity and a void between the younger players that you become reliant on. They're just not as identifiable. And that's just simple fact. Steve Kerr is facing this to, again, a lesser degree because he's got his three veterans. But the younger your roster becomes and the more you turn that over, the more there becomes this huge sort of gap between you and just being relatable. And that, more often than not, is what is the key to being a successful coach or manager, is bringing the best out of today's players, because they feel as though you're one of them, or they can talk to you, or they want to, quote unquote, play for you, however it is you define that. So the older you get, it to me, there becomes more of this sort of chasm between the younger players, and you always need young players to be under team control to make sense financially. And sort of even Bob Melvin is encroaching in that area. And if there's one area where I would say it's time for Bob Melvin to do something else, or at least not with the Giants, that would be it. And the same certainly would hold true with the Bruce Bochy. In terms of managing, do they still now hold or maintain a pen and pitchers? And do they still know how to make the proper substitution? Certainly. But again, it gets back to those sort of things that you can't necessarily quantify on a chalkboard.
Yeah, that's something I think maybe to keep an eye on there, and I'll try and keep an eye on that more going forward, is how Bob interacts with the younger players. I don't think there's any massive disconnect there that I've noticed at all this season, and I think that's why you got guys in the clubhouse too. That's where guys like Chapman and Adames are so valuable, because they kind of offer a sort of middleman, so to speak, between, you know, the 23-year-olds in the room to where they're at, to where the coaches are at. But, and again, I do like Bob Melvin as a Giants manager. I held a lot of respect for him for what he did with the A's during his time there. He was always the guy for me that was like, when Bochy was running the Giants, Bob Melvin was the guy I looked at as, if the Giants couldn't have Bruce Bochy for whatever reason, I would want the Giants to have Bob Melvin. That's how highly I thought of Bob Melvin when he was running the A's. He did such a phenomenal job there. And honestly, when Farhan Zaidi first came to the Giants, he hired, of course, you know, Gabe Kapler, who unfortunately I didn't get a chance to run into this weekend. Was very sad about that. And I thought Gabe Kapler was a placeholder manager. Like, I thought Gabe Kapler was going to be a placeholder manager until Bob's contract with the A's would end. And that's when Farhan would swoop in and bring Bob Melvin, because Bob Melvin was the platoon guy. He was the platoon manager. He knew how to do the matchups, which is what Farhan wanted to do. And Farhan eventually did end up getting his guy when the Padres released Bob Melvin from his contract there. And unfortunately, though, it was too late. Farhan wasn't able to make it work out. And Bob comes in and he's still here. And now it's Buster. But and the reason I do have pause, though, on Bob's future now, though, with the Giants, is because he was not hired by Buster Posey. Teams and GMs, president of baseball operations, what have you, they like to hire their own guys. That was, you know, when, you know, Bruce Bochy had his 1 year under Farhan Zaidi before he stepped down. Obviously, that was going to happen because, you know, Farhan was going to bring in his own guy. That's how all front offices work. You know, it's not unusual. Sometimes it gets messy like that. But, of course, things did not work out with Farhan. And now you got Buster here. And there's the part of me that thinks that if Buster wants his own guy, there is no one who is more Buster's own guy than one Bruce Bochy. Now, again, a lot needs to happen for this reality to come to fruition. Step one, Giants miss the playoffs. Step two, Rangers miss the playoffs. Step three, Bruce Bochy wants out of Texas. Step four, Giants move off Bob Melvin. Step five, let's go and get those big cap sizes going again. So a lot has to happen there for that to happen. I'm not advocating for the removal of Bob Melvin, but there is one situation that could come to fruition this offseason where I would be okay moving off Bob Melvin, only if it's because Bruce Bochy is at the other end of that rainbow. Dan, we got a few minutes left in the show here. You got to hear what Larry Bear said about Barry Bonds getting a statue and how that took this station viral this week.
We no disagreement from us on that topic. On the radar, I would say on the radar. A statue is, you know, certainly Barry's deserving of a statue, and you know, I would say should be next up. And we don't have the exact location or the exact date and the exact timing, but we're not, you're saying things that we're totally in sync with. It's coming. All I can say is it's coming.
It's coming. All I can say is it's coming. And those are the words, Dan. I tweeted those out on the station's account when he said it. And later that afternoon, Talkin' Baseball, one of the bigger baseball aggregator accounts, they picked it up saying, you know, Larry Bear on 95.7 The Game said this. Next thing you know, MLB on Fox.
Is that Brzezinski talking baseball?
Aren't they part of the John Boy Media crew?
Oh, okay, no. So it's Trevor Plouffe and those guys?
I believe it's those guys, yeah. And then Fox Sports MLB picked it up. Then 2 days ago on ESPN.com, the story is there about the Bond statue is coming, according to Larry Bear, what he said on 95.7 The Game. And then yesterday, as I'm sitting here in the studio producing the Morning Roast with my guy Carter Chickering, I look up on MLB Network, and what Larry Bear said is on MLB Network all of a sudden. And so the Morning Roast went viral this week because of what Larry Bear said about Barry Bonds getting a statue. And so that was really cool to see happen. But then, of course, the second part, which is, well, then where does the statue go? And that's where some of the fun answers started to come in. The most fun answer being, oh, you got to put that statue out in the Cove, because who else put more baseballs in the Cove than one Barry Lamar Bonds?
Good point. I'm thinking, though, the Cove, though, does get a lot of traffic, though, right?
Like, I don't know how much, because there are the kayaks and the boats and stuff.
You can walk past there, but there's just not a lot of foot traffic in that part of the park.
Well, I don't know. If you go there on a giveaway day, I don't know if you saw a Jung-Hoo Lee jersey giveaway on last Sunday. The lines were, the Willie Mays Gate line stretched all the way across to Mission Rock. Mm. The left field dual gate line stretched all the way down to that port walk, all the way down to Seals Plaza. So you can get some foot traffic there on those days. And of course, you got all the kayakers who would be out there as well around the statue. But as far as boat traffic, like, I don't think it gets like a ton of traffic through there.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's funny because Barry Bonds is one of those guys, if he plays for any other team, the Giants can't stand this. Giant fans can't stand this guy. Like, he is just, like, imagine Barry Bonds playing for the Dodgers with all the Balco and the steroids.
Well, it'll probably be like Shohei right now.
Well, but do you hate Shohei? I don't hate Shohei.
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do. I imagine, honestly, watching Shohei in a Dodger uniform, I'm like, is this how Dodger fans felt watching Barry? Because, like, this dude is objectively the best hitter of this generation, Shohei Ohtani. He is going to be the most electric, fun-to-watch home run hitter for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And it just sucks because I'm going to hate every single freaking second of it.
Well, you hate him because you are a passionate, you bleed orange and black.
I always have. Yeah, in the same way that Dodger fans hated Barry Bonds, I'm sure.
No, but I think, okay, take away the fandom. If you're just an objective or if you're just a fan, you're not going to like Barry Bonds simply because of all of the steroids and everything that's been connected to him with the illegalities, if you will, of playing Major League Baseball back in the 2000s and being sort of the poster child, him and Sammy Sosa, McGuire, of quote-unquote cheating.
Well, yeah, but how's that any different from Shohei Ohtani using his interpreter to bet on baseball games for him?
I love it.
Well, again, legally, I have to say he wasn't found guilty or allegations are attached or whatever. So acknowledging the actual facts of what happened, no, I refuse to believe that it took our federal government, who takes out, you know, years to solve the simplest cases. There's no way it took them a day to discover that Shohei had nothing to do with it. We had Dave Fleming on right after when that was happening, and he dropped this great line.
Shohei's not going to jail.
Like, we were very excited when this whole stuff came out. It's like, oh, is he going to get suspended? What's this going to do with the Dodgers? No, I absolutely believe that he had Ipe Mizuhara throwing down bets for him and then threw him under the bus when it happened. But you know, investigation.
I guess my point is that I don't think he's a bad guy. Maybe he was cheating. Maybe he was betting on baseball.
Yeah, because good people can do illegal things. Sure.
I don't think like the Dodgers. I grew up hating the Dodgers, and they were much easier to hate for me when I was a kid. And it was Tommy Lasorda waddling out there. It's like, oh God, and they would just pace the Giants every single game out at Candlestick, or so it appeared. It's hard to hate Mookie Betts. I'm sorry,
no,
man.
Mookie Betts, I have nothing but respect for him. And the only other Dodger I truly, the only Dodger.
Don't do it. I'm going to let you say it, but I hope you're not going here. But go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well, the one Dodger who I actually do hold and who I actually do like is always going to be Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say, yeah, I'll give you Clayton. And Clayton, by the way, if he wants to be a broadcaster, or get into a booth,
yeah, he is great on the microphone.
He's so good. But no, I thought you were going to go Freddie Freeman.
Oh, no. No.
Freddie Freeman is the quintessential Los Angeles Dodger. He is the modern version of Steve Garvey. Perfect. Just like
his
everybody
teeth are bigger
loves
than
him.
My face.
And by the way, and I'm loving this, he's in a serious funk. This dude is like one for his last 35. Aww. Thank God.
Oh, but, what a shame.
Before we get out of here, I was just thinking about this because he's one of the best hitters against right-handed pitching. I just happened to read this really bizarre stat.
Freddie?
Yeah, and he can't hit right-handed pitching over the last month.
Oh, what a shame. He's washed.
Somebody needs to explain to me the Willy Adames splits. Since when does a guy who's so good from the right side of the plate can't hit left-handed pitching? And it's not just this year. Like, throughout his entire career, his splits are off the charts. This dude cannot hit southpaws. Like, what's up? That to me is just really bizarre.
Baseball's weird that way. I mean, you want to talk about weird splits. I mean, we talk about the ballpark here, and Willy Adames has actually hit better at Oracle than he's hit on the road, which try and figure that one out here. But anyway, yeah, all is to say a really cool moment this week on this station, breaking this really incredible news on our airwaves and not a different radio station's airwaves.
What's the pose?
Well,
Bonds.
That's the other thing. Yeah, what do you do the pose there? I think there's the two fists raised that he did when he hit 756. I always like the one where home run number 73, that picture, where he's kind of looking at the ball go and he's dropping the bat behind him. I think it's got to be one of those two poses.
I kind of like the stance. A little choked up on the bat on the left side. I mean, he had that distinct. You know what I just loved about Bonds? I always say this when we talk about him in reverence, is that when he was going through those when he was the best player in baseball, and he's hitting 70-plus home runs, he was maybe going to get one pitch in at bat, right? Remember the chicken?
One pitch a day.
Like, you were going to get maybe the pitch is going to be like, let me just sneak one by him. And he squared that thing up 90% of the time.
I'll always remember, I think it was 2006, I believe, it was against the Phillies. It was a Saturday day game. It was a nationally televised game. And so it was a day game. Bonds didn't take any BP before the game. Maybe he probably did some cage work, but he didn't really take any serious BP that day. And he steps to the plate, sees three balls to start off. They weren't intentional walks, just three balls outside the zone. Doesn't move his bat at all. The fourth pitch goes right in the middle of the strike zone, and he cranked it into right field. And it was like the broadcast was saying that might have been the first time Barry swung the bat today. Like, literally, the dude just like got up, got in the box, didn't see anything. Then boom, first pitch he sees, the first time he swings a bat that day, just absolutely crushes it. And that's just what Barry was. The other one I always remember is 01. He had that series in Houston at the end of the year. He was intentionally walked every single at bat except for the last one against Wilfredo Rodriguez, who threw him two strikes before Barry just cranked number 70 into the right field seats as well. Again, that's one of the best Bonds stories.
I think the only, all you need to know about Barry Bonds back in the day is that it was in 1998 when Buck Showalter decided that with the bases loaded, I'm better off walking Barry Bonds than pitching to him.
And here's why. It's here in the YouTube chat, instant. He's got a great point here. The walk rate was underappreciated. Why I'm always going to have Barry Bonds over Shohei Ohtani in terms of hitters, Shohei doesn't get walked anywhere near close to how much Barry Bonds gets walked. You will never see Shohei get 122 intentional walks in a year. Shohei will never draw 232 free passes in one baseball season. Shohei sees far more hittable pitches than Barry Bonds ever did. and Barry still was the greatest home run hitter ever. I want to see Shohei do what he's doing now with the same number of pitches that Barry Bonds saw. And let's see if he's still the greatest thing since sliced bread. Let's put our bets on that.
I love the Shohei. Well, Bonds couldn't pitch. Or do you have a defense for that?
Well, Shohei can throw one inning right now. Ooh. You know who else can throw an inning? Like, Spencer Bivens can throw an inning, too. Like, come on.
Oh, we didn't write Spencer Bivens. What's he getting?
See.
Sammy Lovin coming strong to end things here. Just
that finish is on a high note.
Giant fan. True and true. All right. That'll do it for us from a man, Sam Lubman, for all the producers that showed up here today. We will see you, of course, back here next week for another Orange and Black Sports Wrap. Until then, enjoy the rest of the weekend, and it's the Giants and the White Sox. We'll be back to talk about it beginning on Monday morning with the roast. Until then, so long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.